Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward.
Welcome back to episode 26 of season 2 of Excelsior Journeys Behind the Scenes. This is George Soroy. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening to all of the shows that are involved in the National Podcast Post-Month Challenge. I am really excited to be at the home stretch of this challenge. I'm playing a little bit of catch-up, but I intend to be all finished so that way at the end of the day you have 30 episodes to listen to and hopefully enjoy. It's been a lot of fun kind of going back into this digital memoir, if you will, of all the different stories that I worked on over the years that were geared for either the big or small screen or the stage. And it's been a lot of stuff that I've put together throughout the years. But in the year around 2011, that was when the move was made from New York City to St. Louis. That's where we got ourselves all set up and decided that our money was going to go a lot further over here than they would be in New York, and wanted to start a family, wanted to be in a house that we could call our own. We were able to do that. I wound up finding that there is a wonderful writing community in the St. Louis area. It didn't take very long for me to feel at home. I knew that the trip from New York to Richmond, Virginia, when I was younger, it took about 4 years or so before I really found myself in a very happy place during that time. Here in St. Louis, a lot of the focus went on to writing books. So Excelsior wound up getting a rewrite during the time that I was here, so that way it could get hooked up with a publisher that's based out of St. Louis. And that did a lot of good for me. It did some wonderful work for my confidence as a writer, and it allowed me to improve the overall story in a very good way. And then later on, when Excelsior wound up linking up with Aloris Publishing, after the publisher here wound up closing down, I wound up finding some even better things to improve those books, to improve Excelsior, and to complete Ever Upward, part two in the Excelsior journey. To get that out there was a wonderful feeling. And to take From Parts Unknown and completely rewrite it from top to bottom and make it the five-part serial that it was and has been until now with its new publisher, Ronan Weatherford, setting it up as a trilogy, which I think will play a whole lot better. So a lot of the focus was really on books and maybe some short stories here and there. And obviously the podcasting and the audiobook narrating took up a lot of my energy. However, back in 2022, I was given the opportunity to take my story of Excelsior, the first one, and transform it into an audio drama. And that was a whole new realm that I was going into. And it turns out I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I felt so much more in line with who I am when it came to that. I just felt like I could focus on the story, focus on the characters, and I don't have to focus on all the prose to surround the story and the characters. I can just keep pushing everything forward. And since time is of the essence when it comes to audio dramas, especially when I was told that I only had an hour to work with, I had to take something that was originally narrated as an audiobook at 7 hours long and squeeze it down into 1 hour. Thankfully, it wound up being 2 hours because the story itself could not have been told properly as a 1 hour. It needed that extra hour for everything to breathe. And thankfully, it did. I'm really proud with the results. You can hear all the details about that adventure in this same show, in Excelsior Journeys Behind the Scenes. It's the last 10 episodes of season one, which was done last year. This time around, I want to focus on something that happened as a result of me being involved with this group, the 529 Club, and being able to work with so many great people and to work alongside an amazing producer in Deborah Wooten. Deborah had reached out to me around late August of 2023. It's been several months since we had done the show, and it wound up coming off as a big success. But now, Deborah's focus was on a film festival in Greece that she was a part of. And she sent me the news that there was going to be a short screenplay competition. And it was only going to be about $10 or so to enter. And when I saw that, I was just like, this sounds great. I would love to take part in this. But what do I do? What kind of story do I tell for this? And then she said, it's going to be in 2 weeks. So I needed to really think about what was I going to do here? What kind of story was I going to tell? It obviously wouldn't work to tell something that I am completely unfamiliar with. What stories do I have that I can mine for material? One of the things that came to mind was a short story that I had gone back and forth with about this one character who wound up being known as the First Plus. When I say plus, I'm talking about a person who had undergone a cybernetic operation to improve their body. In this guy's story, his name is Victor Stenbeck. He had been in a debilitating accident, hit by a car, and was unable to walk. And so he would undergo this operation to get himself to walk again. But by doing that, he becomes this target by so many different people, many of which believe that if you undergo this procedure, you are forfeiting part of your humanity. And that in itself becomes a very touchy subject, to say the least. And so it was very much like thinking about, like, what direction do I go in with this story? And originally it was just a short story, and it wound up being all about the last day in the life of this person, because he would eventually be ambushed, and the fluid that is used to power all of the cybernetic organisms in him, he would be getting an overload of that. You'd be getting an overdose of it, and that's how he would die. And so I was thinking about, what exactly do I do with this? And then once I realized that this could work as a short film, then all of a sudden everything seemed to flow, because just like with audio dramas, all I got to focus on is the characters and the story, and that's all I need to think about. And so I just started writing, and after about an hour or so, I had gotten about 3-4 pages done, and it felt amazing. It felt like, oh, I can do this, and I can do this. And then that brought another idea and another idea. And so over the next couple of weeks, I kept on writing, and it was just like, oh, this would be great if this part happened and this part happened. And it felt like I was coming home to my characters, and these were the ones that would wind up, this character would lead into the story that I did when I was in writing for television class, Task Force. That's the only real title that I had for it. So that's just what I went with at the time. And that's currently what it is right now, because I still can't think of anything better. But I had been thinking about possibly revisiting those Task Force characters and setting them up as a middle grade series, with one younger person kind of taking the lead, taking it from this older man, close to teenage girl, and seeing what happens there. And that was actually something that grabbed my agent's attention. And that's what really made her want to represent me. She's excited about the possibility of taking that series and running with it. This was a way of introducing myself to this world again. Once I had everything finished, it came out to about 17 pages. And then I look back at the requirements of the festival, because everything was set up on filmfreeway.com. For those of you who want to get into filmmaking, definitely get yourself acquainted with filmfreeway.com, because it opens the doors for a whole lot of different festivals that you would have never thought even existed, but they're out there. And when I looked at the requirements for this festival, they ask for 11 pages, no more than 11 pages. So I had to do some serious chopping to really make things fit in that allotted space. Thankfully, I was able to make it happen by the evening of the due date. I'm really good at doing things at the last minute, apparently. I went ahead and just put it out there. And sure enough, the end result, which I would find out a week later, is that it would win honorable mention. I got some very good feedback from the festival about it. The funny thing is that a lot of the feedback that I got, the thing that they would label as constructive criticism, which it definitely was that I needed to allow my characters a little bit extra room to breathe. That way we can get and create some different scenarios where we can get to know them more. The funny thing is I had those moments, but I had to take them out because of the allotted space I had. So it was there. I just needed to keep them in and figure out other ways to chop down the running time. Thankfully, when I decided that, you know, like, oh, that was fun. What else can I submit to? I found a whole bunch of other festivals. I just started submitting to them piece by piece, one by one, once every couple of weeks or so. I was able to switch out the shorter version for the 17-page version. So that way, all of that additional information, it's all there. And all of a sudden, I wound up finding myself set up as a finalist in the Cambridge Script Festival in the UK and winning an Outstanding Achievement Award in the International Indian Filmmakers Competition, Edinburgh. I would be listed as an official selection in the New York Script Awards and all these different things that I would wind up picking up along the way, whether it would be a finalist or a semifinalist or an official selection. And as I'm talking to one of my friends, Chris Etheridge, about it, turns out Chris, someone that I knew from eighth grade on, he and I have been able to keep in touch, and he's gone on to be a very successful filmmaker in the indie world. And he was in the process of submitting to another film festival called Austin Revolution. He recommended I try that because they're very genre focused and something like this would grab their attention. So I did. And I waited. Like, I think it was around June or July or even August or so of 2023 when I submitted. But the notification wasn't due until December. I just kept on doing what I needed to on other things, and everything was going along just fine. December of 2024 comes around, and I still remember this vividly. I'm in the parking lot at CVS waiting to pick up a prescription, and I check my email, and I see judging status has changed for minus one plus, which is what I would call the script, from Austin Revolution. I was like, oh boy, here we go. At this point, I had gotten a decent amount of attention with official selections, honorable mentions, and even a finalist in one or two of them. But that was pretty much as far as I'd gotten. Austin Revolution sends an email. And normally when it says, thank you for your entry into this festival, that's the giveaway that your script is not selected. But if it says congratulations on the first line, then obviously you got somewhere with it. And I did with Austin Revolution. They named Minus One Plus an official selection of the screenplay category at Austin Revolutions. I was like, fantastic. That's awesome. And I told Chris the good news and he was thrilled and seemed like, okay, this is really cool. Maybe I'll even, you know, show up for something like this if time permits. Chris was talking about possibly going as well if something were to happen with his own stuff. I kind of left it at that. It was just another official selection. And it was at the same time that I'd been named an official selection to the New York Script Awards. So I felt really good about things at that point. And then 2025 started. And then January, first few days of January hit. And I see another change. And it was from Austin Revolution saying judging status has changed. And I looked at that and I'm just like, what is this? And I click on it and it says, if you have received this email, that means you are an award nominee for Austin Revolution Film Festival. And I immediately freaked out. I was like, wait a minute, I'm nominated for something? All this time, I had wanted so badly for my own writing to get recognized in some way. And I had even submitted it for different awards at book events, but never seemed to get the attention that I felt my writing deserved. And sure enough, here's Austin Revolution saying, you're worthy. And not only are you worthy, you're nominated. I looked it up, and it turns out that it was up for the best short screenplay sci-fi category. So they not only have the short screenplays, but they also have them broken up into different categories. I was over the moon when I saw that. And I was just like, okay, now I guess I really am going to this. And thankfully, I had some credits already because I was supposed to go to Dragon Con down in Atlanta earlier that year. I wound up not going, and so I wound up canceling my flight, but I still get the credits for it. So I was able to turn that around and then get the credits and just added a few extra dollars, maybe about like $40 or so. And I had a flight going in and out of Austin, Texas. It was decided that the best way for me to operate was through an Airbnb and not through the hotel because I was going on my own. So there was no one to split any room costs. So I needed to get myself an Airbnb. There was a good spot there, good communication with the guy. And overall, it wound up being a very interesting experience. But I'm going to be sharing a deeper look into those experiences in the next episode. I hope you've been enjoying this. I've been having a blast recapping all of this. And I look forward to sharing even more with you very shortly. So until then, this is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to hesgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to George@hesgotit.com.